From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter with this news. State lawmakers have endorsed an Alaska Native tribe's effort to rename Southeast Alaska's Saginaw Bay. The body of water off QU Island was named for the U.S. warship that laid waste to three Tlingit villages in 1869. Don Jackson, executive director of the Organized Village of Cake, told a House committee that the local clan never relinquished its rights to the bay, and having it named after an episode of military aggression is an affront.
It's been a contentious history of how Saginaw got named. And in 2018, our tribe passed a resolution unanimously to move forward introducing and putting back on the land our traditional name of Skanuk.
The House of Representatives unanimously passed a resolution sponsored by Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins this month to change the name to Skanuk Bay. The Tlingit word means security. Earlier this month, a petition was sent to the U.S. Board of Geographic Names, which will add it to its list for consideration this summer. The Alaska Historical Commission, U.S. Forest Service, and others will have a chance to weigh in before the federal board makes a ruling. The three villages destroyed by the USS Saginaw had been evacuated in advance of the arrival of the gunboat. But soldiers also landed and deliberately burned the winter food stores and provisions that, according to oral accounts, led to the starvation of an untold number of people. Other Southeast place names include Murder Cove, Surprise Harbor, and Retaliation Point speak to a series of dark episodes that came to be known as the Cake War of 1869. Alaska has the nation's highest rate of sexual assault, and the state wants to improve how it responds to people who report these crimes to state troopers. They're asking victim survivors in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta for help. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur talked with the researcher leading the project.
So my name is Ingrid Diane Johnson. I'm an assistant professor in the Justice Center at the University of Alaska, Anchorage.
Johnson is asking people to do a hard thing. Talk with her about their experience reporting sexual assault to Alaska state troopers. And she knows it.
I'm asking them to talk to a stranger about, something very traumatic and personal. I can promise confidentiality, so I can promise that I'm the only person that would know their name and that they did participate.
Participants get a $45 gift card, but that's not why they've been sharing their stories.
They're talking to me to help change the system and make it better.
Every interview begins the same way, asking about the assault. Answering is optional. From there, Johnson asks about the experience of reporting the assault and about how the case was handled.
And then the second part, we start to talk about what justice means to them in these types of cases and whether they think justice was done in their case and what kinds of things people could have done differently to make them feel like justice was done, what kinds of recommendations they have for making improvements.
Adults who reported a sexual assault to troopers between 2006 and 2016 are asked to take part. Western Alaska has the highest rates of sexual assault in the state, and Johnson says the region's situation needs to be a part of this study.
I would just really love to hear more voices from the Yukon-Kuskokwim, because there's things I'm not going to hear if I don't hear from people in the Yukon-Kuskokwim.
If you'd like to participate, you can call Johnson at 907-786-1126 or email her at idjohnson@alaska.edu. Contacting her does not mean you have to do the interview.
People are free to reach out to me just to ask questions or just to, feel me out, talk to me a little bit and see, if they even feel comfortable talking to me. I'm happy to have a lot of initial conversations before someone even commits to doing an interview.
Johnson is also interviewing the professionals who handle sexual assault cases once they're reported, including people working in law enforcement, criminal justice, healthcare, and advocacy. The State Department of Public Safety hired Johnson for the project using federal funds. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
As gray whales make their annual migration to the Arctic feeding grounds, they're starting to wash up dead on Alaska's shores. This comes after dozens of gray whales showed up dead earlier this year in Mexico and California. Scientists say the whales aren't getting enough to eat. but they're not sure why, and they're hoping the dead animals in Alaska can help supply some answers. Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk has more.
Trust me on this one. If you're going to slice open a dead whale, you want a sharp knife. Kathy Burek and her crew are trying to get inside a newly beached gray whale just off a highway outside Anchorage. She brought more than a dozen knives, but she hasn't had time to sharpen them since carving up another dead gray whale a couple of days before. So Burek pulls a couple of volunteers out of a crowd of bystanders and puts them to work.
Ooh, careful.
That scares me a bit.
Maybe hold it on to the side there. There you go. I like that one better.
It's a busy time for Burek, who's a veterinary pathologist. That means she studies animal disease. She's hired by the federal government to collect samples from whales when they die. This one bobbed around for nearly 2 weeks before it washed up on shore, and Burek says it's too decomposed to yield many useful samples.
Because it's just not worth the time and effort, because once we get inside the abdomen, like the kidneys, the liver are just going to be kind of liquefied. That's not really good for a whole lot of stuff.
Before they get started, Burek and her crew get into chest waders, then pull on plastic gloves all the way up to their shoulders and put on purple rubber gloves over those. Then they slice through a 6-inch layer of blubber. Just from looking at the whale, Burek thinks that it's probably underfed. That's been the case with other dead gray whales along the West Coast. Federal officials say that at least 60 have been found already this year, the most in at least 2 decades. Just 3 of those were in Alaska, but because the whales migrate 5,000 miles from Mexico to their Arctic feeding grounds this time of year, it's likely more will show up here dead, says John Kalambakides, a research biologist in Washington.
The level we've seen on the West Coast means Alaska should brace itself for probably some significantly elevated numbers of gray whale strandings.
Right now, the gray whale population is healthy. It's recovered to 27,000 since whalers hunted them nearly to extinction, and they were taken off the endangered species list in 1994. Kalambakides says it's starting to look like that's as many as the whale's habitat can support. He says when the whales were feeding in the Arctic last summer, it looks like it may have been a bad year for their prey, these tiny shrimp-like things called amphipods that the whales suck from the ocean floor. Researchers are looking at whether the whale deaths are a natural result of more animals competing for food in a limited area, or if it could relate to climate change, things like warming ocean temperatures and less sea ice in the whales' feeding grounds. Michael Milstein, a spokesman for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, says his agency is paying closer attention to annual summer surveys of the gray whales' feeding patterns.
The scientists that do those surveys are going back through their records and trying to understand if there was something unusual about when and where the whales were feeding.
The surveys will be repeated this summer, too. And scientists can also get useful data from dead whales if they wash up on shore, like this one near Anchorage. But that process takes work. Burek, the veterinary pathologist, has finally gotten under the layer of blubber and into the whale's abdomen, which is swollen with gas and liquid. While the inside of the gray whale doesn't smell fresh, it turns out its organs are surprisingly intact.
Ooh, guess what that is? That's the kidney. Right there. We got kidney.
Burek cuts off tiny chunks of tissue and puts them into bags and vials for analysis later. Potential clues for researchers trying to solve the mystery of what's happening with the gray whales. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
And taking a quick look at weather, it's currently 56 degrees, mostly cloudy at the Juneau International Airport. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 44, southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 68. Same thing Sunday, so get out there this Memorial Day weekend and be sure to be safe and have fun. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Madeline Baxter.